Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPW number 83. That's Ba'ez Pnimi, Shir for Women, Shir number 83. We're talking about building trust. Again, it's a two-way street. Husband needs to do this for his wife as well. And one other way of building trust is to remain an adult. A relationship is when two adults can communicate with each other. We had previous shiurim in the BPJs regarding Terence Real's work pertaining to child relationships or childlike relationships between two adults or in marriage. We need to be adults in marriage, husband and wife both, to trust each other with our possessions, to trust each other with our bodies, taking care of each other. This trust cannot exist when there is an emotional regression or a lack of emotional intelligence. What is regression? Regression means when a full-grown adult, a full-developed adult, acts like a young child emotionally. An adult woman is acting like a preschooler, then she's regressing. A tantrum is regression. Bursting into tears. We're not talking about a case where she hears a certain tsar or whatever it is, but using this in a way to, I'm upset getting what I want and reacting that way, that's regression. And it leads to emotional desertion, basically. What does that mean? A husband cannot live in a grown-up relationship with a two-year-old. And when a wife refuses to act in a grown-up manner, she leaves her husband emotionally alone. Again, he could act as a child too. Like we said, it goes both ways. What is this helpless, childless behavior? It's the inability to make decisions, the refusal to take responsibility, the refusal to act independently in a healthy way. It is true the husband is technically the captain of the house, if you want to say, entire perspective, again, in a normal way. In Ruchnia, certainly, but a woman has influence over material things in the home and in spiritual advice as well. We see through the history of Klal Yisrael how women save their husbands from many, many things. So a woman is not considered a child that can't think or act. Anyone who thought that way is the Torah versions of what a wife is totally, totally wrong. She's an adult. She's a healthy adult. She's independent. She has talents and gifts that she contributes. And because she is a mature adult, that's what Hashem views a Jewish wife, then she has that mature obligation to keep mitzvahs properly. That starts really from bas mitzvah time, but it continues on into adulthood. And we cannot, basically it's like this. A wife who claims she's not good at cooking, she could insist, I can't cook, you husband, you prepare the Shabbos meals. You could do that. It will relieve you the task of cooking. It'll give you opportunity to complain about him, about he's not cooking right, he's not doing his job right. So a wife who plays helpless, I can't cook, I can't do this part type of cleaning, will blame her husband for being insensitive or unkind when she herself did not take steps to work with him towards healthy communication. So you can accuse your husband of spoiling your children when you do nothing constructive to stop spoiling the children by yourself. So basically is like this. If a wife uses anything less than her full adult capabilities in her marriage, she is robbing from her husband his being a full husband, and it threatens the trust of the relationship. Throwing a tantrum is another childlike behavior people engage in. Many, many mature, quote-unquote mature, they're married, they're already 20, 30 years married in the 40s and the 50s, and they're still screaming, yelling, throwing, hitting, stomping, slamming, mamish like toddlers in a tantrum. Because you didn't develop the verbal skills and the emotional regulation in order to express properly. And this exaggerates the unpleasantness of this moment. A husband he could have a flawed wife, that's fine. He could learn to accept flaws from his wife and realize that she could be in a bad mood, that's fine. He'll deal with that. He could deal with his wife being in a bad mood from time to time. That's part of being human. He'll learn to deal with that. But he should still be able to be confident that he is dealing with a rational adult, even in a time of disagreement and confrontation. She could say, I'm hurt or I disagree in a respectful way. That you can do. But when you start a temper tantrum, when things don't go your way, he loses trust. He can't relate to a raging child. That's like Avodah Zarah, because when your emotions rule over you, you basically, it could lead to anything. Or using tears. It is true. The Chazal do say, a man must always be careful not to hurt his wife, because her tears are quick to come. She can more easily be hurt. That is very, very true. On the husband's side, we talk about the woman's emotional health. And she has to, and her husband needs to be careful and needs to respect her, needs to comfort her, needs to be emotionally sensitive to her, not to cause her tears out of pain. So he needs to be sensitive. But never use this sensitivity to escape your adult negotiations. You can't say, a wife can't say, you know, yes, because my tears are something that the wife, that a husband is not good for the husband, he's over on something and he caused pain, she should know not to manipulate him with tears. Tears are appropriate when you're truly in grief or in actual real pain, where you're in real, you were very, very hurt, so you cry. That's what Chazal are talking about. That a husband needs to be careful that, you know, when she cries in pain. But not when you use tears to halt communication. That is an inappropriate use of tears. You know, it's like, you're hurting me too much, I don't want to talk about this. Now, if he was actual cruel, real emotional abuse, it's a different story. But if he's a good person overall, but he just, you know, let it out one time, it's not his normal habit, it's not a pattern, she could say, I am too upset to talk about this, we can meet in an hour when I'm calm enough. But not use tears as a weapon to silence her husband. So, let's say he says, let's talk about the credit card account. We need to get control over the situation. So he's hinting that she's overspending. So the right reaction of the wife is, yes, let's pick a quiet time when the kids are sleeping and we can concentrate and we'll figure out what the problem is and we'll deal with it. Not to say, you know, take care of it yourself. You know, what do you want from me? The defensive stuff, or crying, you don't trust me. No, this is the way you do it. Let's pick a quiet time, kids are sleeping, and we'll work through it. That's the healthy way of approaching it. Another thing interesting to build trust is to avoid surprises. That even though surprises are, you sometimes can be very pleasant, right? Husband, wife surprises her husband and buys him his favorite chocolate cake on his birthday. But large surprises could have the opposite effect. It erodes trust a lot of times. For example, especially if it costs money. So for example, if a wife surprised her husband, got a new dining room set, he may get distressed from that. It was very expensive. That's not an appropriate surprise type of thing. So that's very important. If a couple works on a baseline of the financial situation, no one likes unexpected bills, so a wife should tell her husband, I spend this and this. And that would avoid so much situations of disagreement when it comes to opening up credit cards and finding, you know, these surprise items. The earning of the trust of a husband in the financial realm is important. And for example, also, this is an interesting thing that happens often. The husband has a desk that has desk is messy. And she wants to clean the desk, straighten the desk. adjust the papers, and he will get very upset at her. But she meant it well. She wants to make it clean for him, better for him. But in his mind, it's all structured this way, and you're reorganizing me, and you're getting me confused. So if a husband does not want his belongings touched, it's important to respect her decision, his decision. Don't throw out things in the garbage or straighten out his mess when he doesn't want you to. Leave him and let him be. Also, don't invite guests if you haven't told your husband that you're inviting these guests. There's a mitzvah of achnasas arichim, but not at the expense of your husband not wanting guests. Same goes the other way around too. We talk about it all the time. If a wife is not comfortable inviting particular guests, then he has to be sensitive to her requests in that sense. Very, very important. Another insight in building trust is to be consistent. Consistency is a very important way to establish trust, to live to your commitments in body language, in verbal language. You know, a husband, for example, if the wife says, "I'm upset," and she looks upset, it makes sense. She looks upset. It's not pleasant, but there is a consistency there. She got upset. She expressed she's upset. He may not be happy that she's upset, but he understands it at least. But if she's angry looking and she says, "Oh, I'm not upset at all," then her words are contradicting her body language. If the facial features are calm, relaxed, but her voice is very sullen, also it confuses him. When she says, "Oh, there's nothing wrong," if the voice sounds that there is something wrong. So the giving of mixed messages that the wife gives off and the husband is extremely confusing to him. He doesn't know what to trust. Mixed messages gives a person a feeling of ambivalence, a feeling of insecurity, of uncertainty. And, you know, let's say the husband asks his wife if she had time, she would have time to pick up the clothes at the cleaners, and she's grumpy when she answers. But she replies, and the words are saying, "I'd be happy to do it for you," but she's has a grumpy tone saying that. That is not fair. There needs to be clarity. So, for example, if, let's say, he asked her, "Please take this to the cleaners for me," and he really doesn't have time, it's best to say, "I would love to get you clothes for you, but I have so many things planned for today. Can it wait till tomorrow? I don't mind taking it tomorrow." It's better to do that and have that clear communication. It would save so much agmas nefesh. And let's say the clothes has to be gotten today. So the wife can answer, "Okay, you want me to get it today because we don't have a choice, but I'll have to rush through some other obligations that I have. That'll cause me stress and make it hard for me to deal with the children. Next time, I'd appreciate if you give me more notice." So she's expressing what's exactly on her mind. The husband recognizes this, so he could trust her communication. Trust in communication doesn't mean that you say everything exactly the way the husband likes it. No, trust in communication means that even when you disagree or don't like something regarding something about what her husband said, right? But it'll be understandable. It'll be understandable. She knows what's exactly on her mind. Same thing Yontif, right? It's beautifully set and everything. And she's very, very tired. And she is worn out. So that look, you know, decreases the Yontif feeling. So she should try to say, "Let's try to make Yontif special and beautiful." But if it's her facial expressions show Yontif is hard and unpleasant, it'll send the wrong message to her husband and her family. Another thing is consistency is taking your words seriously and remember them. Another wife should be reliable in what she said and when she said it. And to pay attention to her own speech. She should only say what she herself takes seriously. And then the one who's listening will weigh his words to be sure that they don't cause harm to other people. Warm words spoken without commitment and sincerity could cause pain. So one needs to be careful about making sure not to cause such pain. So, to review some of the aspects of today's shiur, number one, remain the adult, the healthy adult, like we talked about in the Terence Real lectures in Bais Pnimi joint group, to avoid surprises, and we explained why, and to be consistent. The consistency and the loyalty are very much connected to each other, and it's so important to be consistently loyal. Bracha natzlacha.